Joining me right now is Dr. Diana Sheets, and she is an author and a literary critic, and she writes her own blog, as a matter of fact, literarygulag.com. We wanted to talk a bit about the incoming Barack Obama administration. Good morning, Dr. Sheets. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Now, you live in Colorado? That's where you are?
No, I live in Illinois most of the year, and sometimes over the summer I'm in Connecticut.
Oh, okay. All right. Great. So Colorado, Connecticut, I got to get my C words right there.
That's okay.
Okay. So literarygulag.com, do you consider yourself sort of in the backwaters, in the gulag? Why the name for that blog, first off?
Okay. Well, the gulag, of course, is where the Soviets sent political and intellectual dissidents who disagreed with the prevailing point of view. I think that literary criticism and the fiction world has become so gentrified, and it's not engaged with telling the really important stories of the world. And so I feel, as a writer, as a fiction writer, as a literary critic, and as a political commentator, I'm in the gulag. I'm writing the stories that the politically correct world does not want to talk about.
So in other words, you are not invited to Barack Obama's Christmas party.
No, I don't think I will. But if he has a Christmas party, you know, you're not even allowed to say those words anymore. So
okay. So let's take a look. You say on your blog, literarygulag.com,
right,
that President-elect Barack Obama came of age. In other words, he's the first postmodernist president. For the uninitiated, what does it mean, postmodernism? Can you define that?
Sure. It can mean almost anything these days, and it really came of age in the 1980s, and it's become the predominant worldview of the entire academic establishment. But what it basically means is that there is no such thing as an objective truth, that everything in the world is culturally and socially relative. And so that, for instance, if people looked at how Barack Obama ran his campaign, you know, it was very hard to pin any political point of view on him. He really, talk about a Teflon man.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really stuck. And so what this means is that you can argue that there is no Barack Obama, that he's the most selfless president, or alternatively, that there are many Barack Obamas. And the question is, which Barack Obama will be coming to the White House?
Okay, so do you tend to subscribe to many personalities, or that there really is no there with Barack Obama?
I'm not really sure. What I do think is that he has a persona, but whether that persona those many personas, and each one that he represents to a different constituency, really represents his core identity, I don't know. I think he's very carefully shielded himself from presenting what I might call a real or true authentic self. And so that makes him a postmodern president.
I find it interesting that as he builds his cabinet and his cabinet appointments right now, how he doesn't appear to be showing a very strong sense of who Barack Obama really is, because it almost seems like a rerun of the Clinton administration. Would that be a fair thing to say?
Yes, but I think he's very smart to do that. I mean, obviously what he's been doing is moving to the center, and he's been tapping into, many of the, you could almost say the brain trust of the Clinton administration. But keep in mind, George W. Bush did the same thing.
Sure.
He was drawing. And he would be foolish not to, because it would take, the mistake for the Democratic Party was Jimmy Carter. And he didn't tap into those people in the know, and he really was disastrous for the party. So I actually think in terms of the appointments and the people he's picking, he's trying to pick the people who have the ability to make the decisions, but they also know how Washington works.
Okay, do we have, from the way you've been able to look into the many personalities, let's say, the many selves of Barack Obama,
exactly,
what is probably his strongest core that you've been able to discern so far? I know this has been a tough person to pin down.
And by strongest core, what do you mean?
Okay, the strongest part of his narrative that you've been writing about. What is there anything that is like overall? I guess if you were to put. If you were to paint him one color, I'm not talking about skin pigment,
right, right,
but, you know, what is the over-driving feature of Barack Obama over the years that you've been able to discern?
Well, I think what he would like to do is represent a new identity for America, and he would like it to be above partisanship, and he would like to be a unifier in the nation. And I think his political instincts are, you know, definitely left, but I think he has the political brains to realize that what he might have advocated when he was speaking for Chicago politics and Illinois politics is not necessarily going to work in the mainstream. So what's interesting, the wonderful thing about having no core identity is you have the ability to change and migrate as needed. So I think he's making that transition. Now, what I think he would like to have a much more socially cohesive government and have it much more to the left than has been certainly since the time of Reagan. And he will have some power to make a change because of the economy. But I think he's also, you have to realize, from the moment you're stepping into this office, you're looking at 4 years from now, and he certainly wants a two-term legacy. So he's going to try to initiate the policies that are going to turn the economy around and ensure that he has another term in office.
Right. Well, Dr. Sheets, are you effectively telling me that despite what Barack Obama told his supporters for the last couple of years now, that he is just going to smoothly lie to them now? I mean, I'm just trying to figure this out because he presented himself as very much a harder left than he appears to be, you know, hedging the bets right now. So
well, I don't know whether lie would be the right word, but he is representing a different constituency, and he's going to have two different pulls. One pull is going to be to really truly represent a more leftist agenda, and the other pull is going to be to represent all of America and to ensure that he's not just a one-time flash in the pan. And he has freedoms because the economy is in such a desperate mess that it gives him more freedom to shape things, and there's going to be a much greater governmental influence than we ever could have imagined, you know, even 4 years ago. So in that sense, you could read that as a leftward trend. Mm-hmm. But for instance, I think he made a very wise choice in terms of his economic appointments. I think Timothy Geithner, who's the current head of the New York Federal Reserve, is a wonderful choice. And I think Larry Summers, who was the Treasury Secretary in the last 2 years of the Clinton administration, is also a wonderful choice. And they're very conservative choices. Huh. I mean, even if Larry Summers is now being pitched as a little bit more socially correct, let's keep in mind he was basically asked to step down as president of Harvard because he was saying things that really did not jive with
Well, it made the PC crowd in women's studies and such very upset, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, of course, you studied women's studies, did you not, when you were at the University of Colorado?
I did, and especially I spent a year in England, and I was doing some women's studies there. You know, I think that's one of the problems. If you look at what's happened in academia today, and it reflects for a larger political world, there is no core studies anymore. There are all of these political identity groups, and it's very hard for someone coming in as a student today to really get a view of either American or European history. I mean, these have become seen as power elites and therefore bad. So you get women's studies, or you get African-American studies, or you get Hispanic studies, but what you're not really getting is an overview of what I would call American studies. And I think that's a problem. And that's what, when you're talking about postmodernism, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about these millions of different identities, but no core story of what is America.
Boy, Dr. Diana Sheets is on this morning. Her website, by the way, is literarygulag.com, and you write political commentary, and you've been focusing a lot on the many selves of Barack Obama. Out of curiosity, the fact that he didn't really have a dad when he was growing up, is that something that you see as one of the stories that is going to affect the kind of president that we see?
Well, yeah, I think it makes a huge difference. And I mean, I think you could make a very good case that Barack Obama, again, it's typical of a new way of looking at the world. The way he has conducted this campaign is what I would call a very feminized approach. It has not been a strong. Let me contrast it with McCain. Mm-hmm. McCain put himself out there. He he was very straightforward about what he hoped to do. With Obama, you could never get a gauge of what his policies were going to be and how he's going to act. I would call that a feminized approach to how to deal with the world. You don't reveal yourself. You don't state your policies out there so people can engage with them or attack them. I think, you know, his autobiographical story was really about not having a relationship with a father and really not even having a place that you could definitively call home.
Is this overly feminized way of engaging folks, could this not ultimately lead to, and I'm sorry to take, you know, a cynical view of politicians, but I just tend to, especially at the federal level.
Right.
Could this not be sort of the best form of a soft dictator that we ever could have elected? Because you have crisis, and government tends to grow and grab lots of power during crisis, no matter what, whether it's right or left wing. So isn't there a possibility that this will be the iron authoritarian fist inside the smooth velvet glove?
Well, he's certainly going to have impact. I think for me, the biggest concern I have is how this is going to impact our foreign policies. And what I'm very concerned about is I think America as a world power is going to be tested. And the question is whether he will have the strength to be able to represent not only American interests, but what I would call global democratic interests. And that means, if necessary, standing up to threats. And the question is, really, to what extent can Barack Obama do that? And what you have to hope is that he will have the right advisors and the instincts to push him in that direction. But right now, I have some concern in that
area. Okay, well, let me pick your brain on that subject in another direction. Yeah, I think back to the early 1970s, and I was a kid in high school, in junior high, and I would pay attention to politics at that point. And I remember where Nixon went to China, right?
Right.
And if McGovern had gone to China, if he had won the election in 72, let's say, it was considered that he probably would have been somewhat weak and soft on communism and all the rest of it. But because you had the hockey guy, you know, heading over
right.
there, the hawkish guy, it was looking okay. And I'm kind of looking at this situation when you have Barack Obama, who says that within the first 100 days of his administration, he is going to give a major speech in a major Islamic center or capital at some point. Isn't that, well, kind of the equivalent of McGovern going to China?
I absolutely think your instincts are right. I think that Nixon accomplished much more than McGovern could ever do in the dialogue with China, and it was because he was conservative, and so not only did America not worry about what he would come home with, but the Chinese also felt better to know the most conservative faction because they're going to give a truer read of how they're going to respond. I think this idea of trying to please everyone all the time is a little bit suspect to me. What I read in today's New York Times is that probably they're speculating that he's going to go to Indonesia. I think that's a pretty good guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he spent a number of years there as a child, and he can, actually, speak that language as a native. And I think that, and also it's a different type, at least potentially a different type of Islam. And I think it would, I think that's a good way to give the appearance of being open to the world, but not necessarily supporting the hardcore Islam. But
see, I hope that's the case, because it doesn't strike me as a real good time to all of a sudden say, "Hey, let's sit down and say kumbaya." I don't think we should be belligerent either. You know, there needs
right.
to be some means between these extremes. Now, so final questions I had for you, and by the way, your blog is great. I really have to tell you, I'm going to link to it on my page too.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
On literarygulag.com, like you said, you're right on this all the time now. So, a final thought here. Barack Obama's greatest strengths coming into office and his most glaring weaknesses that you think really need to be watched?
His greatest strengths are he's intelligent, he's put together a very competent brain trust, and many of these people he's put together know how to make Washington work, and I think all of these things are really important. And I think he's going to move forward with an approach, an approach that's going to be set a good mindset in terms of getting Americans to believe that we can actually get the economy improving. His weaknesses are that as a postmodernist, he doesn't have really a fundamental point of view. He doesn't have an approach that of bedrock that will inform his policies. And I'm concerned that because of that, there won't be a fundamental vision for how to run the country and how to conduct foreign policy.
So that's a real contrast to, say what you will about Ronald Reagan, but Ronald Reagan certainly had a core vision of sorts then.
Yes, and you know, even though right now people are very unhappy with George W. Bush, he also had a very, very strong vision. And you can like it or not like it, but it informed his policies and it shaped his administration. And I don't know.
Yeah, you knew where he was coming from in just about everything he did then.
Absolutely.
All right. LiteraryGulag.com. Highly recommended view of that there. And do you have any books coming out here soon, Dr. Sheets?
Well, I'm going to see if I can get some of these articles that are essays that are appearing on Literary Gulag put together in a book, and I'm going to be working to try to get some of my fiction published. So I keep a lookout for those things over the next year or so, and maybe you'll see, and any news along those lines will be posted on my website, Literary Gulag.
Very good. It's the latest read up there is Barack Obama's Postmodern Presidency and the Implications for Policy. I appreciate you coming on the show this morning. Thank you, Dr. Sheets.
Thank you, Bill.
Do take care. It's 729 on News Talk AM 1440 KMED. More stimulating talk radio here on the Bill Maher Show.